血も費やして綴られた僕らの気分、どうしてか一行の空白を埋められない、押し花のしおり挟んで君と転がす使い捨ての自転車。
Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, July 11th Jumpcast. Usually I have some sort of joke here, but if it's not completely obvious, that intro is patterned off what Ryan Davis used to do for the Giant Bombcast. And the reason it's patterned off that way is because I always thought it was just such an easy and electrifying way to start a podcast, to just get everyone roped up and involved really quickly. And if you haven't heard, Ryan passed away last week. And I've talked about it a little bit on Free to Play, but I know Mike and I don't know if Greg wants to say anything here, but it's this podcast was inspired by the Giant Bombcast and Ryan's hosting. So I at least want to give a little bit of acknowledgement that happened and he'll be missed.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an entire generation of podcasters out there who will say that he was a direct inspiration for them. Sad.
It's very sad, and we don't want to drag you guys down too much, but Giant Bomb has tons of Ryan Davis stuff. If you want to go look at that, and
just type Ryan Davis YouTube into Google and find something, it'll all be really funny.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like an outsider on this one, because the only way that I participated in the whole Giant Bomb thing was in the Giant Bombcast. I never really went to the website or watched the quick looks or something like that. So I feel like, yeah, I missed out on a lot of the stuff that people are talking about, but he was always, I would say, probably the most recognizable person from that site. And he was really good at what he did.
He was a pro, yeah.
I participated in Giant Bomb to the extent that I made an OKCupid picture of Ryan Davis that got like 3,000 likes on Tumblr, to the point where people thought it was like legitimately real.
And I think Jeff Gerstmann said it's the funniest thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, somebody pointed out on Gath that like that's going to be Ryan Davis's legacy, and for that we can all be proud. But definitely a huge influence and a big loss for everybody.
Yeah. So.
All right, well, then.
Manga, I guess.
Yeah, let's move on to what this is actually about.
That hard right turn from there to...
All right.
There's absolutely no segue between Ryan Davis dying and manga. I cannot come up with one...
Giant Bomb was affiliated with Anime Vice, which...
And Ryan did review a lot of anime games.
Yeah.
So, okay. Starting with, I guess you guys read Jaco?
Yes, Toriyama's new series.
Yes.
How was that?
It's okay.
I didn't really enjoy it. It feels like it's targeting an age group which is too young for Shonen Jump.
It felt a little bit like a shrug. Like a 38-page shrug.
Why is he even getting back into the industry at this point? Just for the hell of it? Like,
I don't know. Obviously, his royalties have finally run out, so...
Dragon Ball royalties will never run out.
I'm sure he likes drawing manga.
Yeah, but you can't... He's never going to do bigger than Dragon Ball, and probably never going to do better than Dragon Ball.
I mean, you don't have to necessarily do bigger or better, just do something different, which, I'll be quite honest, this also isn't all that different.
Would you compare it more to Dragon Ball or Dr. Slump?
I've never read Dr. Slump.
Okay, so the premise is an alien crash lands on Earth on a small island inhabited by one man, like an old guy who's trying to build a time machine. For reasons that are explained.
Yes, and the alien is the member of some sort of like Sentai defense force type thing, and when he's talking, he's always posing.
He fancies himself a Sentai defense force person, it seems like.
This sounds classic Toriyama, like a little too classic Toriyama.
Yeah, the art is really nice, I will say.
Yeah, it's very clean.
There is a lot of backgrounds. Yeah, it's very clean. The characters are, you know, Dragon Ball-y, but really good looking. And the thrust of the series so far seems to be like this old man, Umori, I think his name was. He gets kind of blackmailed into helping the alien fix his ship. Because evil aliens are going to be arriving on the planet in 3 days, and Jaco needs to be able to defend against them.
Wait, are you joking, or was that an actual part of the plot?
That is the plot.
Yes. Why?
The evil alien part arriving part?
Yes.
Yeah. The
And the
Saiyans
good
are coming.
alien who's going to fight against them.
That's a little too on the nose.
Yeah. And the good alien at one point, you know, beats up a giant fish creature.
It's a shark. But yeah.
But yeah, it,
He
nothing
doesn't
that
he gets
Goku didn't do many times, you know.
He didn't Goku punch it out of the water. He just kind of knocked it out. I don't know. I enjoy the character of Jacko, the posing and crap. I find that funny. Because at one point, the old man questions why he's moving around so much, and he's like, "Well, I was talking a lot. I didn't want to lose your attention."
But isn't that a joke that you use with like the Ginyu Force?
Yes.
I
And
don't know if
also,
I'm
the
gonna.
good alien has an extinction bomb, which basically will release a virus that'll kill all humans if he feels like using it.
Yeah, it's like a genocide bomb that looks like a Capsule Corp capsule.
I mean, it sounds on the cusp of interesting, but isn't quite there yet.
I'm eager to see where it goes, but this might just be another Sandland that's going to hang around for a few chapters and end.
Though I do kind of wonder if people were like reading Dragon Ball 1 and be like, this is stupid.
This is just like
This
Naruto.
isn't going anywhere.
I feel like it would be better suited for Shisui's other magazine that like, you know, the Springtime of Youth of Rock Lee and that all
Yeah, but
those
that's
sort of
like a
things.
That's a death pit. Like Rock
Well,
Lee's
I don't
explicit.
know, but
I
I'm just saying, like, if you want to promote that magazine geared towards younger people, if you have Toriyama making the flagship series for that magazine, and you
But
know, it
I'm.
would be all kids who have never read Dragon Ball before, and I'd say that this seems oriented towards a younger audience to begin with, it just seems like that would be the natural place to put it.
I'm betting Toriyama just went fuck you guys and going in regular Shonen Jump. Because he has that kind of pull to go wherever he wants. I don't think Shueisha can dictate that to him.
Take issue with you saying that the kids one is a death trap because they are merchandising the hell out of that Rock Lee manga.
They are, but also it sucks.
It does suck. Like it has like
But since
girl
when do
edgy.
little kids have taste?
That's the thing, like you go there and it's like you are not in good company if you start your manga there.
Well, it kind of started with like weird knockoffs of their real series, so.
Yeah. Was there actually a Dragon Ball there too?
Yeah, there still is Dragon Ball SE.
But that's not actually done by Toriyama, isn't it?
No, it's done by somebody else. And it's just a retelling of Dragon Ball, but quicker.
And gag manga-y.
Yeah, a little bit. It's mostly just like, imagine like a straight Dragon Ball abridged.
I could
Yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
I mean, like some of the gags is like, you're gonna grow up to fight really strong people, and like in the background you see Cell, Frieza, and Mr. Satan,
Yeah,
and Neptune.
I think that that's being done by the same people who did the what's it called? That one special that was Bardock being the legendary Super Saiyan, which
Oh,
made no sense.
that stupid ass thing
Yeah.
where he fights Chiller or whatever my guy's name
Yeah.
was.
Chilled, I think it was.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They ran
I
out
never
of.
saw that and I don't think I should. Dragon
So.
Ball Abridged did do a thing on that.
So he goes back in time to a village of aliens and fights a freezer thing. And it
And
turns
goes
out
Super Saiyan.
he's the original Super Saiyan.
Yeah, I remember hearing that part.
He's his own grandfather.
Great, 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 great.
I feel like it diminishes Goku a decent bit if, like, he's genetically the next Super Saiyan.
Yeah, I like how Bardock went from like, yeah, he was just an average soldier to, no, he was secretly like the best one by a mile.
Yeah.
I liked it when he was the average guy who came up with some smart ideas, like the artificial moon and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he was a scientist or something
Well, no,
originally.
he wasn't a scientist. He was just an average warrior. It's just that he came up with creative uses to help them. Yeah.
Also,
That was the big thing that Vegeta taunted him with.
that destroys like Vegeta's and Goku's whole dynamic, that Vegeta was the one who was born into power, and Goku sort of like
Earned
he
it.
wasn't necessarily. He sort of was, but not to the extent that like Vegeta was groomed for it. If the entire time had just been, oh, Vegeta's family just thought they were stronger and they really weren't, that's really shitty.
And also, don't forget, this means that Broly is Goku's dad. Because he is the legendary Super Saiyan reborn. You remember that entire thing?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Bardock sucks.
Wait, I mean, Bardock Brawly was a great character before.
I mean, Brawly sucks. Brawly was stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll agree with you there.
Brawly was indeed stupid.
So, anywho, Jacko the Galactic Patrolman. It was okay. I like the art. I'm eager to see where it goes.
I have no real interest in continuing with this. I'm not planning on reading the next chapter.
I really like the setting, that island.
I don't think they're going to stick around on that island for very long.
No, but I really like it. It looks like a good setting for a video game or something. Kind of Wind Waker-y. Well, should we get into the regulars?
Yep.
Go slumming with Bleach.
We'll start with Bleach, yes.
Its head desperately gasping above the brink of the water.
Well, there's more buffer because Smokey BB also started out way at the bottom.
There's more bodies for it to stand on.
Which one was Smokey BB?
That was the baseball one.
Oh, no.
Oh, right. That was
the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, oddly enough, Soulcatcher's staying a little bit afloat, and that was the really weird, like, music director type one.
Maybe it's appealing to a
niche audience, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened in Bakuman? The music guy made a manga? Ah, never mind.
Did he? Oh, no, that was, like, the guitarist guy, but he didn't make it one about it, I don't think. Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of curious as to whether anybody has translated past the first chapter of Soulcatchers. Anyway, Bleach.
That's how interesting this Bleach chapter is. We're talking about Soulcatchers.
Hey, guys.
I genuinely don't remember a single thing which... No, I remember... I remember the one thing I was really annoyed about.
It's schizophrenic again this week.
Yeah, like, it goes from, like, really light to sort of heavy moments
and
with
then back.
Just no transition, yeah.
So Yuzu and Karen and Ishin are doing stuff.
Slice of life.
Making some food.
So I want to throw this theory out there that Mike and I were talking about earlier this week. That Yuzu and Karen are twins, right?
Yeah. And also theoretically should be Quincy's because their parent, their mom is Quincy.
But one has black hair and one has blonde hair.
So what if one is a Shinigami and one is a Quincy? Instead of each being half.
But what about the Hollow?
What about the Hollow?
Yeah, what about... Why aren't they... No, the Hollow... There's only one Hollow and it went into Ichigo. We'll just ignore that.
Yeah, that'll be the way he'll hand wave it away. But...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was only the one Hollow. Which was a singular entity.
But Yuzu should have technically been part of the Juha Bak Purge, shouldn't she? Well, is she not also... Ishida is not at all the final Quincy.
We know of at least four at this point that are still alive.
And have survived that specific purge.
Although,
maybe it's only for the people who have been awoken to their powers?
Also, to be clear, they were born after the purge, so... Wait, no, how could they be born after?
No, because, she...
I'm tired.
Born.
Never mind. That was stupid.
There is that weird thing that, like, with Karen, they never talk about that she can... Or, which one? Yeah, it was Karen that she can see...
The one that has huge boobs now for some reason.
It's been 18 months. That's how boobs work, right?
Yeah, you go from being an elementary school girl to... Never mind.
But, yeah... That's our working theory. I wouldn't be surprised if it just never gets mentioned again.
We're just gonna just put a pin in that. Just come back to that later.
Yeah.
So the next part of the chapter is Renji and Rukia.
God, did you really have to try to figure out Rukia's name? Has it been that long since she's been relevant?
Pretty much.
She's awake. She's not floating in the pool anymore.
No more Peach.
And has apparently, passed where Ichigo was in the meantime.
So,
they just brought her up here to up there to heal. She didn't have to restore her sword or anything like that.
Her Bankai was stolen, wasn't it?
She didn't have a Bankai.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't have a Bankai.
What was that ice thing?
That's just her release.
Oh.
Releases got really elaborate after Bankais got introduced because they had to kind of keep up.
Yeah, I didn't see that ice thing was easily on the level of Renji's crazy bone sword.
Well, because remember,
like the huge column thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has multiple dances or whatever they're called. So
it's like early on, it's like my release, my sword turned into a slightly different kind of sword. And at the end, it's like, release. Oh, yeah, I can just do fucking, like, ice magic now. Whatever. Insta-death.
Yeah. Because I remember she killed that guy.
Yeah.
It was a... Visored?
Ariano? The two-head thing they transformed.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the Vastalordes or whatever.
Ariano? Something like that. Anyway.
That was just a normal release. That wasn't a Bankai.
Anyway, yeah. They're training in the hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah, just staring at each other.
Yeah. And then it goes to jokes. Then it goes back to them being heavy.
So, yes, they find out that Byakuya is still dying, but this time much, much slower than normal.
He is not dead yet.
Yep.
And he got back up.
He lacks the strength needed to feel woozy.
I bet you he's going to die again. Because he can't be the guy who saves the day.
This time.
I hope it takes so many chapters again.
I'd forgotten how absurd that was.
Yeah, then he lived after all of that.
He was for sure dead. Then, later, 10 chapters later, you see him, greeting Ichigo.
Do you remember, the 5 times they went, Captain Kuchiki's pulse is 0, he's dead, and then the next chapter he's just talking again. It's like, what? Stop it!
It shows how resilient he is.
So, yeah, he's alive, and Renji is psyched at this.
You know what always bothered me? Him and Rukia aren't related at all, but they look really similar.
Yeah.
I don't think Kubotite wrote that plot point when he designed those characters. I think they were originally just actual blood relations, or however that works in Soul Society.
Yeah, I could see that.
He is now her brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
And, I don't know if he just, needed to make Rukia's past more tragic and invent a sister and all that, but who knows? Maybe they...
But they definitely look similar.
Yeah.
So they introduce another woman thing?
Well, they have gone...
She's the fourth one.
Yeah, they skipped over the fourth. They have already gotten past that, and she seems to be a tailor that makes the clothes.
Right.
Which explains how Renji has new clothes.
I don't think I'd really need an they were robes.
Yeah.
Just give them robes.
I mean, it's the whole theme, how there's the one that's, the healing, the ones that's the food, the one that's the sword, the one that's the clothes, whatever.
She got a position up in heaven because she makes really good robes.
And also threatens to cut off people's penises.
Yes. Which, I mean, that's, I guess, some sort of personality quirk. He seems like he's really reaching for these things now.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be super crazy.
Yeah.
Of course. The higher up you get, the more insane you are.
So, yeah, they're on the final level. I guess his title is the Eyeball Monk.
So, yeah, the big guy.
And considering they were staring at each other, they're training their eyeballs or something?
I guess. They're trying to withstand spirit pressure, which apparently
is... concentrated right there.
It's apparently a thing that hasn't been mentioned up until now.
Well, yeah.
No, that's been around since forever.
Remember? No, I mean, it's a thing that is so heavy here.
Oh. Well, they are getting closer and closer to the Soul King, who... presumably would be giving off spirit energy.
I guess so.
I mean, remember with Kenpachi.
Yeah.
Kenpachi. DDS.
God, I sound like from Michigan. Yeah, you know that Kenpachi over there?
Baxis.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I guess that just means the Spirit King is super duper badass awesome.
And will inevitably lose to Ichigo.
And be evil, yeah. No, he is Ichigo. Dun dun dun.
Who's Duha Bak?
He is the hollow that was inside of Ichigo.
Whitey. Blacker.
So then it cuts to...
Shinji and...
Hiroko?
No, Shinji's other name?
Hiyori. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Hiyori.
Yeah.
And they are yelling at each other on the phone.
To show how much this section of the chapter impacted me, I had actually completely forgotten that this happened until we got back here.
Okay, again, didn't she die?
No.
I thought she got, real messed up during the Aizen fight. And then
she got messed up, but she definitely didn't die. We've seen her since then.
Okay.
We saw her at the beginning of this arc.
That's right, she found, the weird portals that they never mentioned again.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened to Nell?
Who?
That she was in
this
arc.
I know exactly.
Yeah. She's but, still off in Soul in Hoikamundo.
She's the person walking next to Chad. Spoilers. Grimmjow's dead. Deal with it.
But the, so Hiyoko? Was that her name?
Yeah, Hiyori.
Hiyori. She has been tasked by Shinji and Kurotsuchi to repair the distortions between human world and Soul Society.
And she recruits Love, Lisa, and that guy's name Hachi? Yeah, I think it's Hachi. The butler guy.
So. To do so. And is he... Does he have his hand back? Because that looks like a hand to me.
Yeah, everybody's fine. Why not? Nothing matters. Just
yeah, like, I, you know, that was one of the more... Well, one of the better limb cutoffs that they've done in Bleach. And
the defeat of Berrigan.
Yeah. Like, that was actually cool.
I don't. Did you see that, Imran? Did you finish the Aizen arc?
No.
So it was
one of the
yeah.
One of the Arakar's power was basically control over time, like the ultimate decay.
Yeah.
So,
it was more decay than time, like causing hyper age.
And so that's actually where Soi Fong lost her arm to that, and then they were he you know had his barriers and was trying to prevent it, and it would just kind of like cause them to decay away to nothing. And the way that they beat him was he purposely got some of it caught onto his arm, cut off his own arm, and actually transplanted it into the middle of the Arrancar. So he ended up succumbing to his own power.
Yeah, from the inside out, because his barrier was on the outside.
It sounds like when you guys describe the Aizen arc that there were some good ideas that I don't see present in modern Bleach.
They weren't, for the most part, they weren't really present back then either. It was kind of like one or two things that hit on good notes.
Berrigan was the cool one. The rest were like, well, what if Wander Weiss turns into a giant monster for no reason? And Halbiel just like, I don't know, water shark? Shrug.
Yeah, shark, water.
I don't know, she does water. Who cares? She has boobs.
And
you're gonna look at him.
The top guy guns, but he split himself into two people because he got lonely.
Also wolves
what?
And guns. Oh yeah, his little lolly thing was also himself. They were both number one.
He was lonely, so he split himself into two people.
So it goes to Totsuki and the other humans that have no actual special powers. And they're talking about where Ichigo and Chad Inoue are.
Yeah, hey, you remember all that stuff?
No.
And then, God, I forgot his name again. Ikkaku? No.
Yeah, I think that's his last name, but it's, starts with an S. Eyepatchy. We can call him Patchy now.
Yeah, Eyepatch.
Different from Ken Patchy.
Damn it!
So the current captain, Kongkaku, you know?
Yes, and of course they happen to, you know,
Shinsui.
Like the random friends managed to remember, you know, what division he was the captain of. When did they ever tell him them these things? Or I don't know.
It always seemed to me like Totsuki should have been part of the main group.
Yeah,
I agree.
They keep
only because
out.
It would have been good to have another competent female fighter in the series.
Another?
Well, some of the, Yoruichi.
Yeah, there's the one.
Yeah, pretty much just Yoruichi, and I guess Soi Fong. To an extent.
And Nell, when she's in her adult form.
That adult form has always weirded me out when I saw, like, stray pictures here and there.
Yeah, and Rukia, like, when she's, you know, not the damsel in distress, but... Anyway.
God,
Of the theory that we came up with for the Yuzu Karen thing is that one of them is going to be this arc's damsel in distress.
Yeah. There's got to be a woman.
Yep.
There always is. And it's going to be, it's going to be Ishida who kidnaps her, right? Because that's how he's going to prove that he's on their side.
Mizuhiro and Keigo look really weird. The two boys that are Ichigo's friends.
Yeah.
They don't look like themselves anymore. Keigo especially.
That's how getting older works, right?
But like all their features look different except their hair color. It's the only way I would know who those people were.
Kengo looks like he looks more, way more feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he used to have like the derpy eyes and the
definitions.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe he forgot how to draw. So long since he drew them, he's forgotten how to draw them.
Yeah. Yeah. Full disclosure, I had to look up Keigo's name because I could not remember it at all. Anyway, Shinsui tells them that he's there to talk to them about how they're never going to see Ichigo again.
Dun dun dun.
Shocked eyes.
I fully expect they're not going to mention this at all in the next chapter.
I
it's
like
just
that
be a dropped plot point for like a year.
I like that in the middle of a war, the supreme commander of the Shinigami army is like, "Hang on, I gotta go let some kids down easy. Be right back."
But I assume this means he assumes Ichigo's gonna die, or he's going to have to sacrifice himself, or stay until Society forever.
Yeah.
Or he's gonna end up being like a Quincy, and you know, go to the other side.
Yep.
Because that's totally gonna happen, right, guys?
Or this is gonna be like some dumb thing that like, all right, now we're recruiting you guys into this war.
You're parting ways by becoming closer than ever.
It was metaphorical.
This was the most schizophrenic chapter.
I know, like every three pages, it was something different.
Let's go in order. It was Yuzu and Karen, then it was God damn it, we just went through the whole chapter.
I think it was Renji and
Renji and Yuzu, and then after that, it was Shinji and Hiyori.
Yep, and
well, I mean, before that, it was Renji flashbacking to Taylor.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of, it's a step different, step to the side.
It was like a series of three page chapters.
Yeah, this is like a four coma in Bleach form.
Hmm. Oh, most pages have less than three panels.
And then Shinsui and Ichigo's friends, which a weird note to end it on, because I don't really give a shit about...
Yeah,
Ichigo
like,
separating from his friends?
We haven't seen these guys in so long that there's just not any sort of, like, established basis for caring.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if it were, like, Inoue and Chad, that might be one thing. Because they've interacted a lot. There's been, like, whole arcs about that.
I'm gonna be honest. Last time I can remember Ichigo going to school was pre-Soul Society.
He did it at the very beginning of this arc.
He did it at the beginning of the main thing that I remember is the beginning of the Visards arc when Shinji shows up at
his school. Right. That was interesting and then never mentioned again.
Well, no, it was...
And that school must be really easy to get into because, like, Shinji
well,
got in there, school. Visards got in there.
Anybody can get into anime school.
Yeah. Even, like, people much, much older than teenagers.
Yes.
Or much younger looking, at the very like least.
Matsumoto got in there somehow?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I want to go in this classroom with all these teenage boys. That's weird. Okay. Here's your uniform. We only have smalls.
Maybe there's like a fee you pay, and that's... They're just happy for the money.
So, what happens in Bleach next week? I'm going to say
I don't know.
A lot of stuff.
Everything. Every possible thing.
I don't know. What's Gonju up to?
That would actually, like, if they go to answer some questions, that would be fine.
But
at
they're
least
not
it's
going
not,
to.
But it's some ancillary character that they can jump to.
At least it's not hot Nazis. So it's an improvement from last week.
Yeah. Just think, somebody's going to have to fight those hot Nazis.
Yep. And it's going to be probably a female.
It's going to be Matsumoto and...
It's going to be, what's his name, the pretty boy from number Squad 11, and he's going to be talking about how they're uglier than he is. And that'll just be like a joke fight.
I'll
yeah,
buy
I can
it.
See it.
Count
yep.
on it.
That
or it's
going to
be the sword girls.
Reasonable.
So hey, we got two chapters of Beelzebub. I'm tired of Bleach.
In general, or just...
Beelzebub!
Right. So when we left it last week, Tojo was off looking for Fruity Pebbles.
We
set
had
up
just
all the
seen, yeah.
And apparently Igo is carrying the other
Yeah,
pillars.
Zo
Pillars,
and
yeah.
Odo.
That's what I was looking for. I was gonna use stands. I was like, no, that's JoJo.
She's very slowly making her way away.
Yes. And commenting about how fat they are and the chains make it heavier. Then Oga is fighting Takamiya, who is pointing out that Oga never turns off the emblem on his hand.
Yeah, I never thought about this before, but everyone else, the emblem would just appear right before they fight.
Yeah. That's why no one ever noticed it before they went in.
Which does seem a little bit like a contradiction because Tojo, got a tattoo of somebody else's emblem before. So he's not the only one, but yeah.
Well, no, he saw Jack's Satome's emblem, and that's what he based his tattoo off of. So
Yeah.
he must have seen it when Jack was training him or whatever.
Because, yeah, he was his old teacher.
Yeah, he knew him from when he was a child.
Yeah. And since Oga's not turning his crest off, he's basically just losing power.
It's like leaving the faucet on.
He's just idling all the time.
And they point out that, like, this really speaks poorly of his followers. Especially Tojo, who doesn't even have a crest.
Cut to Tojo's fight.
Meanwhile, he just beaten the shit out of like two people with crests and Ryuichi's soul.
What is it, number four and
One.
number one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all
Actually, I think it
good.
might have been like 5 and 1 or something like that.
That sounds better, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking it
Yeah,
was four and
five.
five, but that didn't sound right.
Yeah.
So they're taunting Tojo because he lost to Himikawa.
Who's
Which,
number three.
yeah.
And then we find out that he has trained to the point of vomiting blood, and it flashes back to the Tojo of Tennis, which is the name of this chapter.
So
Which
we
I'm
should
guessing is
explain
a
the following.
pun based because it should be like I think Ojo is Prince.
OG is Prince.
OG is Prince.
So it.
So it's a pun about the Prince of Tennis.
Yes. Instead of the OG of tennis, it is the
And
Tokyo
then the
of tennis.
best gag of this chapter appears, which is Furuichi's soul shouting out.
That's tennis, not training.
Yeah,
Yes.
like just at random points that Furuichi's soul can shout.
He comes out for punchlines,
Yes.
which I it's so incredibly simultaneously self-aware and yet completely sensical and in-universe.
That, like, by eating a piece of his soul, they become a little bit like Furuichi.
Yes, they get that straight man part.
I love everyone's reaction to it, just the blank stares.
Like,
Yeah.
what the heck is that thing?
And Tojo realizes that since he has Furuichi's soul, he can just pull it out of him.
Yeah, all
Or,
he has to do is make him throw up.
yep, by just punching him in the stomach over and
yep,
over.
that's how that works, right?
I like how Tojo just always break things down to fight logic. It's like, you need
Yeah.
a soul, so I punch you repeatedly, I
Yes, I
guess.
punch you until you puke it up.
By the way, the fights with Tojo are like ridiculously, I don't want to, not well chore well they are well choreographed, but there's like something dynamic about them that you don't really get with the Oga fights.
He kind of rolls with the punches a little better.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like the design in general and the moving coat and all that.
Well, Tojo himself is a like larger, bulkier character.
Yeah.
He seems to like stand his ground a little bit more and fight that
Yeah,
way.
and he has more momentum when he's fighting.
So him and the number five are basically trading punches until
Well, the number one
To
just stands there and smokes, basically.
Yeah. Tojo just basically grabs his punch and then knocks him straight out because he's not even in the same league as him.
Yeah. Gets smacked down the hallway, vomits up Furuichi's soul, so I guess that worked.
Yep, so there you go. Just gotta beat him up just enough, right?
And then Tojo's torn shirt reveals a number four on his arm and a Zebub crest.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that this is going to be something that happened during the tennis fight.
Yeah. 'Cause it's about pledging your allegiance, right?
Yeah.
So given the pun of the chapter title and all that, I'm wondering if he's Oga's prince. You know, like Aoi is his queen. He'd be the prince of the court.
I can see that just for how incredibly awkward it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking they're all gonna be like royal standings, like Kanzaki's his captain. You know,
Kenzaki De Niro.
Yes. So
yeah,
stupid.
I'm fine with that. And then, of course, we
Yeah.
see again Furuichi Soul.
So Kenzaki was number two, right?
Yes. No, Kanzaki
And
was number
now,
one. Aoi was
one,
number two.
two. And we don't know who number three is, and this is what we were talking about after it came out last week.
So it is totally Furuichi, isn't it? It's gotta be Furuichi.
I would assume so. Because he's like the chancellor or something, right?
No,
I
I'm
don't know.
sticking with what's it called? I'm sticking with it's Himikawa is number three for both of them.
Yeah, that.
That would actually be a good twist.
Yeah, the number three makes way too much sense there. I mean, if he is like the spy or something, then maybe he can change his crest pattern. I don't
That would
know.
be
It
really cool.
would be just like Himikawa to actually like when he was faking giving Oga the plan to have actually said the actual plan out loud.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm totally just infiltrating these guys for your benefit. Yeah, what an idiot. He thinks that's real. I still think Himekawa's probably playing every single side, but
Of course. And he's just going to be, with whoever wins out.
yeah. So that's one piece recovered of the five. Well,
Yes.
six.
And presumably number one guy has one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because,
The
it
yeah, he was
Furuichi's
at
soul appeared in his mouth.
the
Oh yeah, at the end, yeah.
the four court people all have a piece. The Observer has a piece, and Takamiya has a piece. So.
And when they notice Tojo's crest, Furuichi does pop out.
Yeah. And also, he ate the soul when we saw it, so.
And yeah, they simply do talk about that day of tennis that crest showed up.
Oh, yeah, a bruise that appeared or something like that.
Yeah, I guess he can't see it on his own arm.
So it seriously got to be something like Oga bet him that, if he won the game, that he would
He
have
had to
to
swear
pledge.
fealty or something.
Yeah.
That would be the only way I could see getting Tojo on board is by tricking him, which admittedly would probably not be very hard.
So the next chapter starts with basically the tier twos coming down.
Yeah, B team.
Yes.
The army.
Talking about that
Natsume,
time at,
Paco.
yeah, the time at Akumano High when they all showed up late.
Yeah. Tojo's group.
Who are not seen very often.
So, does Nene have the captain coat back?
No, they're just wearing red tail coats, I think.
Okay.
Because Chiaki
She
has
has
one
a
too.
coat.
Good, because you can't just put the coat back on
You
after
seemed
you got
really mad that she had her coat back.
You
They're
can't just put it back
co-captains
on.
now, right? She
Man,
got it taken away and she didn't do anything about
the scale of everyone in the big group shot is really freaking me out.
it.
Because Paco is super tiny, even compared to like Chiaki, who is
Yeah.
super tiny.
And Natsume's
I think it's all
really
just perspective, but it's
Yeah.
really weird looking.
Oh yeah, especially because we can see her feet in the panel and
Yeah.
nobody else's.
Yeah.
I didn't scroll down far enough.
So the Hime boys freak out because it's the Saint group.
Yes. And they notice Tojo up in the arm. Wait, no, that didn't happen yet.
Tojo converses with the part of Furuichi's soul that fell out of number five.
Yeah.
Yeah, creepy Ichi.
I love that each of the parts of the soul are a different personality trait of Furuichi.
And they're all
Yes.
like the worst things.
Yeah.
There's Creep Ichi, Mob Ichi, Lol Ichi, Bitch Ichi, Fu Chin, and Garbage.
The garbage is the one that makes it, I think.
Yes.
I
What
like that.
is Mob Ichi? What's
It was
that?
a Mob was like a side character thing. Like it's an anime
Okay.
trope, I think. I'm not
Yeah.
sure if there's anything like it's a weird translation, but
Basically, Furuichi has absolutely no self-esteem, and it's a fundamental part of his soul.
I like to think that the author was like trying to come up with the six different things he's called him and was like, shit, I've only called him five. Eh, garbage, whatever.
So, Furuichi says that he only comes out during punchlines. So, and while the number one guy is trying to figure out who number three is, which we just talked about.
Yeah, very, very smart of him though to very quickly figure out like, hey, there's only three people we know of that have qu crests, and he has the number four.
Yeah.
So there should also be a three.
And before he can put the pieces together, someone yells that the Saint Group is here.
And it does a nice little, you know, flashing panel showing six of the eight people who came.
So who is that guy?
We haven't seen him for a long time.
The guy putting his fingers up to his head?
Yeah, standing with Paco?
Yeah, he shows up from time to time. He's the ladies' man.
Like, where did he come? What's his
origin? He was somebody's subordinate. I don't remember.
Yeah. So the Hime boys are confronting the Saint Group, and one of them has, like, a old Western villain mustache?
He's the general. He's got a general mustache.
And a bow tie.
And kind of spiky devil pompadour.
It's Samashima, is I think his name. And he's talking, glasses guy, whose name I've forgotten, kicks him in the face. I guess this surprised everybody because they didn't expect them to be that strong.
Or they didn't expect them to immediately fight, or...
Yeah. And then Tojo's second in command, like, notices him in the window.
Yep.
It says something like, a beloved festival before we graduate.
Yeah, let's party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't think we've ever seen this guy fight, but wasn't it, like, intimated he was super strong or something?
Who, that guy?
With yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not as strong as Tojo, but pretty strong.
So I took the time to look up that dude that, like, has his fingers to his head.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Shimokawa, and his page on the Beelzebub Wiki is largely empty. So I'm not sure where he actually comes in. But I got a name.
Yeah, there are just other people from the group.
Yeah.
The other jobbers, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tojo decides to get the fight started with number one. And then it switches to Kuneda's fight.
With Black Lotus, or whatever her name is.
Yeah. And she's... Kuneda's talking about Takamiya, and she does not like the fact that she speaks of him so casually.
Because it's her lord.
And apparently the man she loves.
Yeah, she's got a crush.
Aw.
And Kuneda's getting kind of beaten down.
Yeah, between the reach of the pole and fighting on the stairs on the lower ground, she's at quite the disadvantage.
Yeah. And Kuneda wants the soul back, but Black Lotus is saying that it doesn't matter because even if they get it back from everybody, Oga's not going to be able to beat Takamiya.
Yeah, they seem to have faith in their leader.
Yeah, yes. Faith in the fact that he is going to completely crush any of their hopes.
Yeah. But Aoi and Kanzaki also have faith in their leader.
Who is still fighting with Takamiya, and they decide to go to the rooftop where they can really release their whole power.
Well, yeah, Takamiya just does. Completely unleash.
Ogre calls him a bitch for running away, which I thought was pretty funny.
And they notice the rest of the group had come out to fight.
And sees the Hime boys staring him down. And Ogo rightfully notices that the Hime boys are not going to put up much of a challenge for his dudes.
Yeah. But as he's giving, like, the leader speech, Takami interrupts him and says now it's time for him to get a little bit serious.
And that what Zenjiro taught him was to suppress the demonic power that would eat away his flesh.
As he's saying this, his hair starts to lift off the ground with, like, power, I guess.
Yeah, and then the Hime boys suddenly start getting their own crest of, like, numbers up to 256 and probably higher.
187.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
So I'm guessing Oga's group is also going to have King's Crests.
Maybe. Well, of course.
Do you think they're just going to get it out of the way and just give everyone the King's Crest now?
I mean, this is pretty much everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else who could
potentially get it?
Oh, I don't
know. Hilda will never swear. Well, she swears loyalty to Beelzebub, probably.
Yeah. Also, I don't think she needs one.
Yeah.
I could swear there's other jobbers, though.
You know, Hilda's
not
really
good in this. The rest of the Red Tails, I suppose. That's not like that core group, but.
I can't think of anyone right now, though, that I immediately think that's missing. So, yeah, maybe they'll just all get it.
Yeah. I mean, they're the only ones pretty much remaining.
I kind of wonder if this is going to be a shadow clone deal of he's splitting his power too many different ways, that it brings everyone down.
I think it's more of a Naruto thing where he has so much power, he can do that freely.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a crazy demon.
Well, no, but I thought that they have already established that it kind of gets split between all of them.
Does it? Yeah.
I think it's
Like,
split
because that
equally.
was the entire thing is Oga's going to have to give his all so that his underlings aren't completely overwhelmed by the other people using his power. Remember
Yeah,
that talk?
the way the King's Quest works is a little shaky.
Yeah.
I'm sure it perfectly makes sense in
Well,
some
for like
way.
from the sounds of what they've said, it's basically like there is a giant there is a single pool of power that they're drawing from, and
The bigger the pool, the stronger they get.
yeah, well, the bigger the pool, the stronger all of them collectively can get, but if one person is using that power at the time, nobody else can. So like there is a finite amount that is spread amongst everybody.
So it could be bringing his pillars down,
Yeah,
potentially.
so like the implication would be if all 250 whatever are using those things, there's less available for him to use.
But I think the logic is that, like, he's releasing all of his power right now,
Right.
so even though 250 people are using it, there's just so much, it
The
makes for a hard fight for the Saints.
manga
Well, yeah.
explanation is that he's just such a badass that all these people are going to be super strong too.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's the Kyuubi chakra.
Yeah. So yeah, that's I really can't wait for the next chapter. I kind of didn't see this coming, even though it seems obvious in retrospect.
I was kind of expecting it to be limited to his court, not to all of them.
I kind of figured when he was talking about like before I scrolled down and saw it, I figured like the general guy was going to get it or something. Like maybe. But
Yeah. I think they'll still have all their own quests, and then Oga's gonna power up. And then probably they're gonna do something like splitting it over six people makes more sense than splitting it over 200.
yeah. They'll use some explanation that
Manga
involves.
math.
Yeah. There'll be some kind of a card game analogy that Oga's going to use.
Was a good card game. They should bring that joke back. Yes.
Glasses. I still love that joke that he identified Himekawa by glasses and not Pompadour. That's a really funny joke.
Right, then. From Beelzebub to Nisekoi.
To fan service.
Yeah, to fan service the chapter.
To fan service, because we got two chapters.
Do we? Oh
Oh,
no,
we're
but
actually going to be covering the next one? I haven't read it yet.
You don't need
it's
to,
a lot of under
honestly.
boob. It is so much under boob.
Yeah.
I'm. You guys know me. I'm into kind of some weird manga. It's kind of making me uncomfortable.
So there's a
Okay.
color page, like a page into this
Yeah, and
manga.
is it just me or is the anatomy kind of messed up on this?
Yes, but also it's a buck fucking naked picture of Chitoge.
Yeah.
Oh,
Are you talking about like on the color page at the start of 81?
yes, the advertising page
Oh, okay.
with
Because
the
I was
Onodera
gonna say like
bobblehead.
the cover thing is Onodera and her
Oh,
sister.
that one too. Yeah, the anatomy is super messed up there, especially on Haru's stomach. It stretches out ridiculously far.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's like, again, buck fucking naked picture of Chitoge.
She's facing away from the drawer.
It's kind of a butt.
It's a pretty obvious butt.
Yeah.
And Onodera bobblehead.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, I don't want to spend too much time on Nisekoi.
Let's just kind of it's bathhouse chapter. I mean,
Yeah.
do we
Yeah,
really have
Rock,
to
what is there to cover other than bathhouse?
I have a
Raku
question.
is contrived into working at a bathhouse.
I have a question. This girl with Mari, have we seen her before? The Honda?
I don't
Uh,
remember her.
she's her like nurse assistant person, I
okay.
think. I think she's been like in one chapter before.
Because I was like, I thought her version of the thing was that police chief dude, the
Well,
lieutenant.
her dad's the police chief, but I think because she's sick, there's like the attendant nurse person.
Who's probably going to fall in love with Raku at some point.
Yeah,
So, yeah. The one joke I enjoyed was Mari jumping the barrier over into the boy side. That was pretty funny.
yes, because she has no shame.
Yeah.
At least not where it comes to Raku.
So then every girl shows up, and then Raku gets put in charge of the bathhouse and has to go into the girl's side. And
Yeah, and the old women tell him to come into the girl's side, and then he passes out. Or no,
something,
that's
something,
where he has to go blindfolded and...
Accidental groping, bath towels fall off, middle school girl boob.
Then Haru joins.
Sees Haru's boobs, then he sees Chitoge's boobs. Next chapter, boobs.
Yep. Next chapter, if this is the bathhouse chapter, next chapter it was
the beach chapter.
Yeah, the swimsuit chapter. Wherein Raku gets dragooed into cleaning up the pool, and so he invites all his friends to come help, but none of the guys showed up, it was just all the girls in Shu.
And all the girls wear incredibly sexy swimsuits.
Yes.
Like, and... what's up with Tsugumi's? Like, she's not... never acts feminine, but then she's wearing, like, the frickin' swimsuit you have to unlock in the Dead or Alive volleyball games.
What would you be expecting? Her to, you know, have the boys' swimsuit? You know, just be wearing some trunks?
I don't know. Maybe, like, an average swimsuit. Not just a piece of cloth tied around her boobs.
And Paula McCoy is also there, but she's not wearing a swimsuit.
And she is being tsundere.
And basically the entire chapter is...
There is a several-page spread of the girls just, like, pouring water on themselves.
Yes.
So, and... I take it at this point it's basically, okay, we've got an anime coming, what can we do to draw in viewers, right?
Yep.
We need to sell mouse pads. Give us something. So basically, this whole chapter is just Haru convincing Paula to join the group, basically.
Yes, come have fun. And then she doesn't do a good job of it, and Paula leaves. And then Raku does the exact same thing, but this time it works.
Because and then Haru has yet another reason to hate him?
No, it doesn't really come up again. She comes up in her swimsuit, which I guess is what we people have been waiting for? I don't know. Nisekoi.
She's wearing, like, the most modest swimsuit there.
Yes. And then she does swear fealty to Chitoge at one point. So I was right. She does belong to the family that protects them.
Oh. How about that?
Yep. And somehow this is only the first time they've met.
So, on to Naruto.
Yep.
I really don't know what more to discuss.
I'll read this at some point.
Nisekoi's getting
it's
creepy.
Just boobs. There's, like, no story to it.
Honestly, I mean, I'm maybe two or three bad chapters of Nisekoi away from just replacing it with World Trigger.
But that would just be me talking, because you guys aren't reading it.
Well, I would read it if we added it.
That's bullshit. We added Beelzebub, and you did not read it for, like, 2 months.
Well, I mean, I didn't say
two of us had read it, though, so we had people to talk about it, but neither of you reads World Trigger.
If we added it, I will read it. I'm just saying, like, Nisekoi's reaching that line.
I don't know.
I think the line that we should do with it is that we should put it into, like, a rotating thing where, like, 1 week we'll talk about that, 1 week we'll talk about Shokugeki no Soma, or, like, have a pool, and then we talk about the most interesting chapter of the various series.
I mean, you guys know I read some dirty manga, right? Like, the romance cast has shown that.
Yes.
It's just weirder when it's in Shonen Jump for some reason. When it's, like, that shameless and in your face. And
it's weird because I always think of Nisekoi as cute and not sexy.
Yeah, like, it started out very much that way.
And now it's trying to go the other way. And
It's the one that made you go, aw, instead of, like, catcalling. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Or that reaction face is funny. Not, wow, her tits are really hanging out.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at her boobs and that swimsuit.
And now it's... Hey man, look at those boobs and that reaction face.
Yeah. Look at those boobs on that reaction face.
The reaction face on those boobs.
So, Naruto.
Yes.
Starts with Hinata.
It starts with Sakura demanding Hinata do things for her. Like, be able to tell what the hell just happened. Because Sakura's incompetent.
Hinata, be useful.
Well, she doesn't have the giant eyes to, you know, be able to catch that giant thing disappearing.
It's no one else's fault.
I do love that after a chapter of Sakura saying that she would stand beside Naruto and Sasuke, she has been pushed back to the fodder again.
Yeah, Team 7 is up there, and it's Sasuke, Naruto, and Naruto's dead father.
She's standing next to, like, Kiba. That's where she's sunk within just a couple
of hours. That is her position in Team 7. She is with Sai.
The Kiba liaison.
I want to see Naruto. It's like, okay, Team 7 battle strategy. Sasuke, you're with me. Sakura, you're, I don't know, steal his trees. Yeah.
I always think of that, what, is it a Lonely Island video? Like the I'm on a boat one?
Oh.
Like the very beginning. Oh, yes. Where
I'm like, going to go fight the Ten Tails. Who am I going to bring? Sasuke and T-Pain.
And
T-Pain. Well, regular Pain, yes. I guess.
Dead Dad.
Yes. So Obito is hella becoming the Jinchuriki.
Yeah, he's going, you know, Super Saiyan level 3.
Which I really fucking love the design on this.
Yeah. There is like a page of two panels of just like, here is the side, here is the back of my design.
Yeah, this is concept art, basically. Yeah.
And it's still fantastic.
It's basically just like the money shot for power-ups. I love the back, the 10-9 things on his back.
Yeah, the 10...
The Megatamas.
Like, Rinnegan-type things, yeah.
And in case you didn't know, still, Obito's still fucking crazy. Because he has that, he has the dead air, or dead eye expression.
He's got, like, Gaara eyes now.
Yeah. So when is he going to reveal? Yeah, so Kakashi dead. Like, you know, actually taunt them with it.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that he left Kakashi in the dead zone.
The dead zone. The hall for infinite losers. So, yeah.
So, Naruto explains why he was able to tell what just happened.
Yeah. He's saying, this is getting creepier by the minute.
I love that Sasuke's just like, yeah, okay.
Like, I like how Naruto was
dumped on him.
Naruto was the only one to notice that, like, the seals were... Well, I guess he was the only one that saw the technique of the six paths, or Sage of the Six Paths.
Yeah. I mean,
he was also the only one who saw, what's it called, Pain do his thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But, so, B doesn't really, like, he just knows that this is not the final form of the Jinchuriki, so there's still one more thing to go through.
Yeah, this isn't the full... Basically, he's still level 2. He's just a level 2 Jinchuriki. He's not a level 3 Jinchuriki.
Yeah.
And I love the next part when Hashirama just immediately drops the ceiling gate on him.
Yeah, and then drops a ton more, getting progressively larger.
Yeah.
You can just hear him going, shit, 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 shit.
Naruto remarks that how badass it is. And then, incredibly awesomely, without even getting up, Obito just destroys all the gates.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, you know, he just, you know, reaches out with chakra arms and grabs that entire, like, you know, zone of influence that was keeping him trapped in, that was keeping the Ten Tails trapped, and just tears it to shreds.
Right.
Just without, casually.
Just like, oh yeah, that thing, I should get rid of that.
Yeah, and like, I like how that there's a snapback sort of thing on all of the, Hokages. Like
a gust of air escaping or something, that kind of...
Yeah, well, no, it looks like it's kind of like almost the act of destroying their seal, like, had a lash back at them.
Yeah. Well, like, Hashirama's clones disappear, as do Tobi Rama's.
His clone... Oh, yeah, he has two. That's right.
Yeah. So it must have done something to them if their clones just vanish.
Yeah.
And Hashirama points out, like, okay, this guy's hella strong. Eyes open, everybody.
Yeah, it's basically, he's got the Ten Tails power, but it's not brainless. It's, like, actually being utilized now.
It's a laser beam instead of, like, a flashlight.
And, like, at one point he goes, I hate to put it so bluntly, but that guy's way stronger than me.
Yeah. And I also like how he's, like, not just a little insane, it's, like, he doesn't even recognize his own name at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a side if it's just because he went so crazy, or if this is a side effect of becoming a Jinchuriki, but he seems to have, like, lost himself.
Or, like, if it's the Ten Tails taking over him.
They seem to imply that this is still part of Madara's plan. That
he's Aizen at this point. Everything is part of his plan, regardless of whether...
Well, it was a backup plan for Obito to become the Jinchuriki, and then Itachi just to take it, or not Itachi, Madara to just take over anyway.
I get the feeling that he is, at this point, neither the Ten Tails or Obito.
Yeah. Like, they call him the Sage of Six Paths directly.
Yeah.
So I guess he's like the evil Sage of Six Paths.
Yeah. And then, last page, It shows him completely destroying the first and the second.
Yeah.
Not clones, the first and the second.
Like
now they're still in that, you know, impure resurrection, so they'll come back, but
he just rips through them with his bare hands.
It looks like he's got some kind of like fan swords or something. I'm not sure what's going on there.
It's just hard to kind
of thing sticking out of his back.
No, in his hands that he's holding with his hands. He's got like some big black weapons in him.
Yeah.
I think those are just effects, maybe.
Effect line.
Yeah, I think
they looked kind of like the Uchiha fans, but like swordy or something.
Yeah, maybe he has energy weapons.
Yeah, I don't know. It does look like the points are sticking through his hands.
So basically, Obito just destroyed the two strongest ninjas the world's ever known.
And then that final panel.
Well, no, Madara is the second strongest.
Okay, one of the strongest ninja the world's ever known.
Amongst,
and his brother.
And that final panel, him with just like the complete same just blank expression is kind of creepy.
I forgot he had the Rinnegan too.
Yeah, they all got it when, you know, they handed them out like candy at one point.
Yeah.
He went to Pain's corpse and took it out.
And that's when Conan died.
Yeah. Did Conan die?
We actually saw whether she died or not.
It was more of an implied death, right?
Yeah
but she hasn't come back since then, so safe to say dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. She didn't come back as one of the cloned things, so maybe that obviously means alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. Just like Yamato is still alive, right?
And yes. Jiraiya.
No, Jiraiya is still alive.
Clearly.
Somewhere. In our hearts. Jiraiya is alive in our hearts.
I'm betting the Ito Tensei Hokages get wiped.
Yeah. Maybe except the fourth, who will stay around for story reasons.
And the other Kages come back and try and fight him. Because it's not that they lost to Madara, necessarily. It's just that they couldn't kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they there was too much Madara.
I mean, they did beat Madara, like, five times. It's just
they beat his clones.
Yeah.
Because I think they could keep Jinchuriki Obito busy for a few minutes.
Hopefully.
While Naruto does whatever Naruto's going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Obito just seems way above Naruto's level. It's going to be kind of a stretch to believe that Naruto could beat somebody like that.
I'm going to guess they take the markings on his back, make it seem like they're going to remove the Jinchuriki out of him one at a time.
The other pieces that he has?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they made specific mention of all of them going into him at once.
Yeah, there are the other nine.
I can see that. And then what I'm also expecting to be the power-up that allows Naruto to go, you know, on even level is that when the fourth is finally taken out, the rest of the Kyuubi's chakra is going to come back to him.
Oh, that's true.
I bet it's a combination of those things. I could see a thing of, like, distract Obito so that Naruto can get in there and one at a time do some kind of, like, chakra punch to pull out, you know, I pulled out the two tails, I pulled out the one tail.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll bet you it's going to be like when he would go inside himself to like commune with the Kyuubi, he's going to go inside of Obito and it'll be like, you know, in an internal thing where Obito's there with all of them in the cage and he'll have to fight Obito to get past him to get to the cage.
Well, or Sasuke's going to just try to kill them instead of like trying to save them.
It's going to be so creepy inside Obito. There's just going to be Rin posters everywhere.
Well, presumably, I don't know if was the Sharingan Zone inside Obito, or was it just a thing?
I think it's like an actual other dimension, like parallel space.
Yeah, so something just occurred to me while we were, like, literally just while we were talking here. Whatever happened to the whole Uchihas can control the Kyuubi's chakra? Because it seems like that would have come up by now.
Maybe it's still going to come up.
The fight against Obito.
Maybe that's the secret, is Sasuke can control all the tailed beasts. And
because he is the actual Sage of the Six Paths.
And then he'll get a dragon mode.
One of the Naruto games announced that they're coming out with a new edition of the game they released earlier this year, and this time it includes the Sasuke Itachi Kabuto fight.
Oh man, there's going to be a three-dimensional Big Nose Kabuto.
I don't know if it's going to go that deep.
Oh, if that's like if they go like the DBZ path and make him a character, that would be... Because, you know,
we would have to buy the game.
We would live stream Yuko Kabuto mirror matches like all day for charity. Not even for charity, just for fun.
Just an all Kabuto fighting game?
Yeah.
But yeah.
The wonderful fighting team of Kabuto and Big Nose Kabuto.
I like the idea of the senseless Jinchuriki with like limitless power being the ultimate villain in Naruto.
Yeah.
It's basically it's a thing he's been trying to overcome his entire life.
Yeah, and this was what was, you know, hinted at back with Gaara. Gaara still had control of himself but was slowly going insane because he couldn't sleep because it would take him over.
Yeah, this is just someone has completely given themselves over to all the tailed beasts.
I'm surprised Gaara never, like, killed everybody. Like, after he became Hokage, like, he just like, hey, all of you who contributed to this plan, get out.
Yeah, it's like...
His heart was warmed by Naruto.
Sleeping?
Hey, all my dad's advisors, go stand over there in the sand. No, further. Sand coffin. Okay, what are you guys up to?
Remember when Kimimaro killed Gaara's dad?
Did that happen?
Yes.
God damn it.
He was the one who did it.
Wait, it was Kimimaro who did it?
yes. Wait, am I thinking of the guy who
the
had, like,
guy,
the,
right?
the bone guy.
Yes. Yeah, that's Kimimaro.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they flash back to it.
I do remember something about that.
He was the one that killed the Kazekage.
No, I thought it was Orochimaru who killed him.
He did it on Orochimaru's orders.
Well, no, because this happened before Kimimaro was introduced. I thought his dad died.
Well,
they flashed back to it.
They find his body, and they're like, oh, Orochimaru must have done this.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then when he's fighting Gaara, he's remembering somebody else's sand powers. He remembers the time that him and Orochimaru dumped Kazekage's body.
Oh.
I remember that time we went and dumped a body.
Good old times.
That's a reasonable enough twist. I mean, it's not like Kimimaro...
No, I don't think it was a bad thing. I would just bring it up, because Kimimaro, he also didn't get revived.
True. He would have been a good person to revive.
Yes, fact-checking, it's during the assassination of the Kazekage that his disease flares up and he has to be hospitalized.
Ah.
Until the Rescue Sasuke arc.
Which explains why he wasn't in the Konoha thing.
I wasn't
there. It probably would have made the difference.
I wasn't there because blank.
That whole plan was really kind of bad. Orochimaru's not good at planning.
Well, it was like...
He just likes making chaos.
Well, the entire plan seemed to be like, give me one swipe at the third Hokage. Shit, that didn't work. Bail. Run.
I could summon a giant snake.
I lost the souls of my arms.
Abort.
And then there was that whole thing with, like, Baki killing a whole bunch of Konoha ninja and everybody swearing revenge forever than, like, their best buds.
Yeah, like that lady, Hayato's wife, that's just like, you know, I'll get revenge. And then, like, about 100 chapters later, like, yeah, Baki's just fighting with us now.
It's cool. He apologized.
So
yeah, good chapter.
Yeah,
yeah. This was an excellent chapter.
I still think that there's a shoe to drop here with regard to Sasuke, and I'm just waiting for that to happen.
When Sasuke kills Obito and absorbs the Ten Tails into himself,
or something like that. Yeah,
the Jinchuriki.
I still say Kokage is a mortal lock. Yeah. That was Naruto. Of which we only had one chapter this week.
Yep. Everything came out early this week. Is there like... Are they off next week or something?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think we just got lucky.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Next week, World Trigger and Beelzebub both get color pages.
Ooh, color Beelzebub.
Which might mean we won't talk about it next week because it won't be out yet.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so, Lucy and Usui.
But first, what we've all been anticipating.
The climactic finale of the Caribou arc.
Is this the end of it, or is
probably,
he just going
probably
to...
Not, but
yeah.
The crescendo. He found his crew.
And they're going to beat him up because he abandoned them.
I don't have any room in my soul for caribou.
You can't find a caribou-shaped hole in your heart?
No, I really can't.
It can be any shape. He's a Logia.
He'll fit.
You laughed way too hard at that.
It was clever.
But yeah.
Greg, I think it's calling you stupid. Like, I shouldn't laugh at your jokes or something.
Kinda. They are typically pretty terrible.
So it cuts to the... Or starts it off with this ship with Brooke, Chopper, Nami, and Momonosuke.
And we see who's and, the ship.
Yes. And we see that Chopper and Brooke are drawn very strangely.
Yes.
It took me like 5 minutes of staring at this to figure this out. Well, not 5 minutes, but a decent amount of time.
I didn't notice until later in the chapter, and then I went back and it's like, oh, they are like that. And
yeah,
really
well, at
I didn't
first,
know if like Oda
at
was
first
being
I
cute
thought it
or
was
something.
They got turned into toys. But
yeah.
It really looks like they got turned into, like, renditions of famous paintings.
Yeah, so who's on the boat is a Don Quixote family member, Jora, a very large woman.
Yes, a very large old woman who seems to have a...
devil fruit ability to turn people into art.
Yeah. So
she was sent to see to take Momonosuke for probably
some
the
reason.
Dragon reason. Remember, because there was the whole thing about how Don Quixote...
I don't know if it was for the dragon reason, because she seemed to be confused at the fact that there's Momonosuke there now when there used to be a lizard.
Yeah, remember he ate the fruit to be able to turn into a
dragon?
Right,
but wouldn't she know that?
Well, no, she was ordered to take Momonosuke.
That's the extent of her orders. She's not in on the... So, she seems to have the ability to turn people into, like, art styles.
Yes, which is a fantastic devil fruit ability.
So Brooke is like...
he's a screamer.
Yeah. Chopper looks almost like a Minecraft character.
Well, no, he's like Cubism or whatever. There's the one...
Nami is like 50s anime or something.
Well, no. Both of them are turned into... Oh, God. Who's the... It's not Picasso. There's the one person who drew people to... So you can see both sides of their perspective.
Yeah. Also, Nami's flat now, which is weird.
Yes.
Because, you know, people were not that...
buxom.
Yeah. Yeah, hey. I'm trying to look up art stuff, but I can't remember.
So she's basically running roughshod over the ship and changing it into all sorts of weird things. While Brooke, Chopper, Nami, and Momonosuke are running away.
Which, not a bad plan, given this lady's power.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, she comes out with a beautiful image spilling forth and turns the entire Sunny into something.
A
like Van Gogh
grotesque thing.
Yeah. That it looks Van Gogh-esque, I would say.
I love the like moon sun face on it.
Yeah. The first thing I did, I also thought it was toys, so I was like, oh, that explains the other stuff.
Yeah,
but
that was also my first reaction.
Yeah.
But once I figured out the art stuff, I was like, oh, then that's still an open question.
So, remember last week when we were talking about how Oda still manages to surprise us with devil fruit powers?
Yes.
This one is awesome.
Yes, it is.
This is just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm loving where this arc has gone. I am back down the rabbit hole of checking on like Mondays and Tuesdays looking for spoiler stuff, which
it
I haven't been doing that since what's it called?
The war.
Yeah.
Marine. It is 100 times better than Fishman Island.
Oh, easily. But I mean this is I'd say sizably better than Punk Hazard at this point too.
Punk Hazard's big problem is that it kind of went nowhere for long periods of time. Which, so we'll have to see how this progresses, but right now it's in the shit going down moments. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And so it cuts to the Colosseum where... I forgot, did that guy ever have a name?
Ricky.
Gladiator Ricky. That he's super injured and he has a big wound in his head.
And he's refusing to let anybody touch his helmet.
Because they'd have to treat him, they'd have to take the helmet off. And
he knows Rebecca. It's implied that, you know, he's her father or something like that.
But she doesn't know him. Or she can't tell who he is. So he says, Rebecca, forgive me. And silhouette or memory of him holding a little girl.
Yep. And then it jumps back to Bellamy, you know, in the Don Quixote family staff headquarters, and he has gotten orders to kill Straw Hat,
yes,
and he gets a position as an officer in the family if he does that.
But Straw Hat had just been encouraging him.
So he seems a little conflicted about it.
He grimaces at the orders to kill him.
Yeah. Then it cuts to Bartolomeo, who's holding a chained up box that says danger.
Yeah, danger, hazard, something like that.
Well, he's taunting Cavendish about Straw Hat.
I'm sure that box isn't important at all.
Probably not.
Not in the slightest.
I love that he tries to take some of Cavendish's food and Cavendish slaps his hand away.
Yeah, well, no, he stabs him with a fork.
Ah, yes.
Or also rather, funny. Goes to stab him, but I'm guessing he, you know, it repelled his arm up or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, he says, oh, he's not going to, you know, die by my hands. And then he says, the thing is, he and I go way back, which is making me wonder if he's, like, affiliated with Shanks or something.
I'm assuming Arlong. All fishermen have to do with Arlong at some point.
He's not a fisherman, is he?
Isn't he?
No.
He has pointed teeth.
Yeah, but he's just like a punk rocker. He's got normal ears.
Oh, God,
right?
What's the name of that one guy who, when Shanks went onto Whitebeard's ship?
Rockstar?
Yeah. They look a little similar, don't they?
No, he had, like, big red hair.
Also, I'm pretty sure if he was on Shanks' crew, Luffy would remember him.
And yeah, he has giant pointed hair.
Yeah,
he has pointed hair, not pointed teeth. Never mind.
Also, yeah, on that point, he joined Shanks' crew after meeting Luffy, but it's definitely not him.
Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know who this guy is. So.
Yeah, Bartolomeo has some sort of connection to Luffy in some way.
Maybe he's that kid that played with Tim and Ace.
What was his name again?
Sabo.
Sabo.
Although he's not wearing the top hat. He would at least have a top hat.
He was clearly in our Dragon's Army.
Yeah, he's the guy that looks like a grown-up Sabo.
Yes. Yeah. Which,
what a crazy concept.
It kind of frustrates me that One Piece never goes to that storyline.
Well, they will.
Once they actually, you know. Oh, you're saying not the Sabo thing. You're saying goes to the Revolutionary Army storyline.
Yeah.
Ah.
Like, it basically never comes up.
Again, someday.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I don't think there's any maybe about it. I think we'll see it before the end of the series.
Well, I mean, we're also making
Odo
assumptions the series ends.
Yeah. So, the giant fishman, or not fishman, the giant dude is
from
kind of,
Elba.
Yeah.
Elbaf.
Right.
Is just kind of rocking the tournament, just taking everybody out.
I think we decided he was a Macho Man Randy Savage reference.
Yeah, I believe you said that.
Yeah.
Because of the shader goggles and the hair and beard.
Meanwhile, Luffy is riding a bull around.
Yes. Which
named Ushi.
Yes.
Yes.
Ushi is the Japanese word for bull.
Where did he get the
bull?
That's
just what. I think he's another one of the contestants.
Yeah, remember it was just like one of them had like a lion and one of them had a bull.
Huh.
It's just a bull.
Yeah.
What?
Well, Luffy has tamed and befriended it.
Yes. Somehow.
He's saying, come on, let's go get them all.
Well,
and they're doing a decent
Luffy's
job.
Luffy's good at this. Remember Kraken? He befriended him really fast.
Well, he punched him in the face.
Yeah. Well, that's how you train animals.
And then the bull runs into Harujudin, or Hazrudin.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah. Who punches him in the face.
Ushi.
Or punches the bull in the face.
Just smashes it right into the ground.
And smashes Luffy into the ground as well.
Killing Luffy. The end.
Yep. That's the end of that tournament. And Luffy gets back up because blunt force trauma does not hurt him.
And he is very sad. Or rather, very angry.
Yeah, because Ushi got hit and knocked unconscious and possibly dead.
Yeah, because people die all the time in One Piece.
I'm just saying.
Then Luffy gets pissed and attacks the Titan.
Yes.
Yes. Just jumps up onto his shoulder and just punches him.
Is that Gear Second? Because he's smoking.
No, it's Haki, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just.
I mean, it has to be Haki because didn't they say earlier that this guy's a Logia?
No.
He wants the Marimara fruit. With it, he'd be unstoppable.
Oh,
because he's already
a giant. Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to have the fruit if most of these people are not fruit users because they want the fire fruit.
Yeah.
Luffy's a special exception because he just wants it for so no one else can have it.
So as far as I can tell, the only person left in this tournament, unless he's already been taken out, is that old guy that wants to kill Luffy.
He got taken out, I think.
Did he?
Did
he's not in this group, I didn't think.
Is no, he is.
Oh, okay.
I think the giant hit him in an attack.
I'll run through real quick and check, but yeah.
Well, there is that other guy who's on the ground that he's falling kind of towards, so there's at least one other person standing.
Oh, they do show the old man in one like flash of the contestants that are still standing at one point. Because
this was a fun place to jump back into this.
I'm glad he's doing like the highlights of this fight.
Yeah. I just really hope that this doesn't go on for like more than, say, one more chapter.
Yeah. I mean, if next one's Luffy and the old man, and if that goes on too long, then he's lost the pacing again.
Yeah. No, it needs to keep up the pace, which is Luffy wins in the next chapter, or he fights for like a portion of the chapter, and then it jumps to one of the other storylines.
I'd be fine even if it was just a chapter of the end of the fight, you know, and it just like ends with Luffy knocking the guy out and winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be certainly okay with that. I'd be fine if they jumped to anybody else too.
God, I want to see more of that art fruit. That's awesome.
It is a really awesome fruit.
I'd like to see Zoro. We haven't seen him for a while.
Because he was heading back to the ship, which means...
Yeah, so he'll be finding these guys.
Well, we don't necessarily... He won't be finding the crew, I'm betting. I'm betting he just runs right past them.
I kind of hope he gets turned into, like, Ukiyo-e style. Like, looks like those old samurai, you know, paintings.
Paintings.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
I think, like, maybe give him, like, the melting clock thing. Except it turns all his swords into that, so he can't actually use them.
Oh, that would suck.
That would piss Zoro off.
Yeah. In a way, I'm actually kind of disappointed that like such a really cool fruit power is being wasted on a character that's not going to have any like really long-term sustainability in this manga.
This seems like a good gimmick that could not be stretched out that much. So
yeah, it's like a Miss All Sunday or whatever. Miss All Sunday was Robin. Miss Christmas Eve or whoever it was that was. No, Golden Week, I think, is what it was. What the color person?
Yeah, that was Golden Week.
Yeah.
What was there? There was Miss Valentine's Day, Miss Groundhog's Day.
I don't remember who's who. Yeah.
Yeah. Good chapter.
Yep.
Yes.
Can't wait for next week.
Yep. Good One Piece. Good Naruto. Both good beals. No ass class this week.
Yeah.
Well, or no ass class yet.
No ass class that we can report on.
Ass time of recording.
Ass class time of recording.
Yep. All right, let's wrap it up. This has been a long ass podcast.
Yeah.
It's weird. It hasn't felt that long, even though it definitely is.
It's been a really long week for me. So.
All right. This has been your Thursday, July 11th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you all next week.
Yep, I've got to be up to like 120 cards, something like that now. Just because I happen to own so many of the games that have cards and I still have not gotten a foil.
What is wrong with you?